The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Frank Urban from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to another edition of Salute a Veteran Every Day. And today's veteran is Amy Forsyth, and she's coming to us from California. Normally we have people in the studio, Amy, but I figured you were such a good catch, I wanted to get you on Salute a Veteran Every Day, just in time for Veterans Day, coming up Saturday, the 11th of November, of course. Amy is very, very accomplished in the military and broadcasting and everything, and so, Amy, how did you come about joining the Marine Corps? That's where you started first, right?
That's right. Hi, Frank. Great to join you. I actually joined the Marine Corps from my hometown of Santa Rosa, California, which is just north of San Francisco. And, you know, I loved going to the city and watching the Fleet Weeks back then as a kid. And that really inspired me to, you know, think of the service and joining the Marines. Of course, my grandfather was a Marine. My grandmother was an Army nurse, and they met during the war in the Pacific, and I always heard about their stories, so I was just called to serve and just so inspired by their legacy and their stories and their friendships with their fellow Marines and nurses, Army nurses. And so I joined the Marines. I really, really wanted to be in public affairs. Once I learned that that was a job I could do, be a photographer and tell those stories of our service members. And so, you know, I had to take a typing test and English diagnostic test. And so, really worked hard to get a spot, very few and far between to get a spot, in the Marine Corps for that particular job. I was a little older, you know, I was 22 actually when I joined the Marines. So I went to college, my parents said, just go to college first. And, you know, I just didn't feel like I was making progress. And I just had this calling to be a part of that legacy of service. And, Desert Shield, Desert Storm was happening. And I thought, I gotta be a part of that. And so, ended up joining, after Desert Shield, Desert Storm. So that's, how I ended up.
So you were over in the sandbox?
No, so I was watching from, you know, at home on TV, but I said, I've got to be a part of that. And
I
so that's what really, you know, sealed the deal for me. And so, you know, it just inspired me to join as well after that Desert Shield, Desert Storm. But then I caught a whole nother epic wave of round two of soundbox with going to Afghanistan and Iraq five times. So
gee whiz.
I got my fair share of deployments for sure.
Well, thank you for your service, that's for sure. Usually people that you meet and friends say, you know, where were you stationed? So I'm going to ask you, where were you stationed?
Yeah, well, my first duty station out of, well, I attended school at Fort Ben Harrison at the Defense Information School when it was in Indiana at the time. And then from there, I got orders to go to serve on Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, the naval base there, working for the local Navy broadcasting station where I was doing radio and television reports there for 1 year. It was considered overseas deployment, so that was a fantastic first duty station. Halfway through, as you and your listeners may recall, we had the Cuban Haitian exodus when tens of thousands of people tried to come to the States from Cuba and Haiti. And so they picked them up at sea, brought them to the little Navy base. And it's there I was doing all the reporting of what was happening. They were standing up, you know, the shelters and the camps for these migrants. There was 60,000 people on a base that was designed for like 4,000 people. So I got to interview a lot of senior officials and congressional delegation members, and just learning how a joint task force stood up. And then we conducted a non-combatant evacuation operation, got all family members off the base because things were getting very dangerous. And so that was a great first duty station where I just saw firsthand, like, real live operations going on, humanitarian operations. And so From there, I went to Camp Pendleton, Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton in San Diego, North San Diego County, near mm-hmm. Oceanside, California. And that's there I worked at the base public affairs office and ran the TV station, was a reporter for the legacy newspaper called the Scout Newspaper, and did a lot of reporting out on the training ranges and interacted with the community members and the media that would come and cover stories. And so really had a great experience learning all the facets of installation management and so on and so forth. So
I know you did some commercial TV. Was that while you were down there?
Yeah, well, so after 8 years, I left active duty and got out so I could finish my bachelor's degree at the local university, California State University, San Marcos, and worked my way through school. And I worked at local TV station covering stories and, you know, used my GI, the old GI Bill back then, so I still had to work. Mm-hmm. And I stayed in the reserves, and then, of course, 9/11 happened, and then I was still, you know, trying to get my bachelor's degree.
Yeah.
But I mobilized to active duty. So luckily I had really great employers and everyone was very supportive and allowed me to go and, serve. So mm-hmm. I got mobilized to active duty and went to Afghanistan in, late 2002, early 2003, and, in between there, you know, I was reporting while I was deployed. I was telling the stories about what we were doing over there. And then the station that I worked for back home was airing my stories. So it was kind of a win-win being able to do the reporting and then share that story
yeah.
with folks back home.
Did that give you a door into the local station when you got back?
Well, I mean, I had already been working for them before I departed.
I see.
And so when I came back, yeah, I just, you know, resumed my position. So luckily they're very supportive of me, you know, leaving and then coming back and so forth. And so, and then from there I was able to finish my bachelor's degree and continue working in TV in the local area and producing shows, anchoring shows, you know, just doing a variety of different, programming things. And then, I stay in the Marine Corps Reserves, and sure enough, I got mobilized again, this time for Iraq. So I think the war continued on. It was 03, 04, some of the heaviest fighting, 05, and then 06 came around. There needed more Marines to go. So I spent a year in Iraq in all of 2006, and I came back and tried to, you know, get plugged back into, you know, my job and, even started a master's degree at that time. And then, you know, of course the war continued on and they needed more Marines to go back again. So I went back in 2008 for another year long deployment, at the same place in Fallujah, Ramadi, Anbar province. Some of your listeners may, you know those names as Anbar province in western Iraq. Mm-hmm. But I forgot to mention I did a stint in 2004 time frame when I got back from Afghanistan at the Defense Information School. So they needed instructors to go train up more public affairs and photographer type people. So I did, I stayed on active duty when I came back from Afghanistan. Then I came back to San Diego, started and finished my bachelor's degree, but then got recalled again mm-hmm. twice from 2006, 2008. And then came back and did a couple other little deployments, something. I did a little tour to Romania, 3-month tour to Romania. Mm-hmm. And that's where I met my husband, who was on deployment as well. He was a private contractor working for the U.S. Army. And then a year later, so we came back to California, got married. And then in 2010, I switched over. I applied for a commission to the U.S. Navy Reserves to be a public affairs officer. Mm-hmm. So I did that, and then that triggered a whole nother set of opportunities to deploy. Meanwhile, the war in Afghanistan was still continuing on. They needed public affairs officers to go forward. So I volunteered in 2003. I went back to Afghanistan, And then in 2018, I went back to Afghanistan. So, and in between that time, I, yes, worked in TV and, I had actually then transitioned over to become a federal employee. I took a job as a, basically a defense, civilian covering stories, based in Guam, but covering stories all over the Indo-Pacific region. And so my husband and I lived on Guam for 5 years, and I was on the road covering stories for the American Forces Network, radio and television. So it was great to be able to go and, cover all those large scale exercises, places like Sri Lanka, Singapore, Malaysia, Japan, Palau, just some really incredible, touring, but also on assignment there. And so after 5 years on Guam, came back to circle back all the way back to Camp Pendleton, where it all began. So that's where I live now, is North San Diego County, and I work as a federal employee on Camp Pendleton. And I do some reporting here and there for the local channel that I worked for many years ago. So I host a show called KOCT Today. And I wrote a book last year called Heroes Live Here. It's a tribute historical book about Camp Pendleton. I use a lot of my photos for my deployments and showcasing all the Marines who sacrificed so much during Iraq and Afghanistan. And I do a lot of speaking and really just, you know, inspiring the next generation and kind of try to keep the legacy and the memory of those that were lost during Iraq and Afghanistan alive, because the further away we get, just makes it harder to remember, you know, of those really, you know, the hard years, I want to say. So we're just sort of in the in-between stage of still trying to mend those wounds and but not forget. As much as we want to forget the pain and the loss, but also keep their memory alive.
Well, you make me feel like a piker. Gosh, what an exciting road you have been on. What were, do you have any good stories of things that happened, either good or bad or funny or not so funny?
Well, you know, it's kind of a blur, and thank goodness for the power of photography, right? I just always had a camera in my hand. I was always taking pictures of other people to, you know, kind of do stories and share back home what was going on. But I looked through those photos, and I just go, oh, yeah, I forgot about this, and I forgot about that. And so just remembering those interesting times that we had together. And so some of those people that I deployed with have become, you know, lifelong friends of mine, and just love reconnecting with them, just like everyone else. So that that shared experience is very real and very important. And so I've actually partnered with the American Legion, and I also host their podcast called Be the One. And so we talk about veteran suicide, and we talk about ways to reduce veteran suicide, and Be the One campaign is something that they've started to help people know that if you're a veteran, you can be the one to help and reach out to another veteran, and all it just takes is one person. And so there's like buddy checks and Be the One on the first of every month. We talk about call out to someone and reach out and just check on people. It can be any day of the month, but on the first of every month, we just a call to action and a call to remind people about our veteran suicide rates. And so just trying to bring awareness to that. So that's really aligned to my goals. And we don't want to see anyone suffering. And there's so many great nonprofit organizations out there that people can support or get support from. And so trying to identify that and be a matchmaker of like, hey, you might want to check out this one, or you might want to check out that one. So it's been really a great way to in that post-service life, although I'm still in the reserves, in the Navy reserves, but kind of one foot in, one foot out. So that's what I focus on now.
Well, to addressing our listeners, would you have a phone number or a place where somebody who's listening now could call for help?
Yes, there is a I think you can text 833, I believe. I'll get that for you if you want to put it in your show notes. And
sure.
There's more information. All you got to do is just definitely go to the American Legion website. There's so many great resources out there. And even if someone wanted to find their local American Legion physically to go there, there's just tremendous resources out there.
Yeah. And we have a lot of resources here, but something you said made me think that might be a national thing. But
actually, the National Crisis Lifeline is 988. So if you were to text 988, you can definitely speak with someone and get help right away on 988.
That's nationwide?
Yeah, 988. Uh-huh. And that's just you can text. And get information.
Excellent. Well, what's next for you?
Well, actually, I'm really excited.
Taking over the world.
Yeah, no. At the end of the year, I'll be retiring from my federal job, and so I'm looking forward to spending more time at home and or other projects, really. And traveling, you know, not for work, but seeing some places in California. So being born and raised in California, I feel like I really haven't explored any places, you know, in the past 20 years I've been on the road. And so, going to, you know, Yosemite or going out to the desert and, you know, sharing that with my husband who's not from here.
Mm-hmm.
We together had not seen any of these sites. And so, and spending more time with my parents and my family, and so that's just a real priority right now. And you know, after COVID and being gone, and you know, you just realize you're missing out on stuff.
Sure.
You don't really make a purpose to go and do those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're comfortable to say, like, now's the time, we're not going to wait any longer. So that's it. And then, you know, do more speaking. I want to really share people my story, but to encourage, you know, the next generation of young people and inspire them to serve in the military. You know, we got to make sure that our story is being told so then the young kids are, I want to do what he's doing. I want to do what she's doing. And so be that inspiration to join, because like us, right, we joined because we knew someone and we said we want to be like that person. And so it just takes one person to influence someone else. So
you've got a talent for getting people interested. I'm ready to join again now.
Well, you know, it's gosh, the kids today coming into the military, they've got so many opportunities and, you know, technical advances, better leadership, lots of great opportunities to travel. And so I wouldn't have changed my route at all, but the way it went for me. But the people coming behind just have so many, you know, wide open opportunities. And so especially for those people interested in, I want to say, journalism, public affairs, even, you know, just no 2 days are alike, as you know, right?
Yeah.
Working in that environment.
Right.
It's just such a blessing to share the courage of our service members for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a great career path. And gosh, I feel so lucky to have got that job 30 years ago when I was working with a recruiter. And then all the people that you meet along the way, just some of the best.
Yeah.
Most creative, collaborative, interesting people, and so it's just a real blessing.
It's not like on TV. I tell people TV shows where they show all this saluting indoors and yes sir, no sir, all that. It's not really like that, you know. It's
right, you know. Right. A little Hollywood there, but you know, just see. So many veterans have like gone on to great success in entrepreneurship or the entertainment world, or, you know, and that's just so great when they can use the military as sort of a launching pad to be able to go on and do other things and then highlighting their success. It's great.
Well, believe it or not, we've run out of time for this edition of Salute a Veteran. I'd like you to come back and talk about your book when time's convenient for you.
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you so much, Frank.
And you've been listening to Salute a Veteran Every Day. And our veteran for this month, Amy Forsyth, Amy's had a wonderful career and I'm sure is a positive influence on everyone. And Amy, I'm standing up and saluting you.
Thank you so much, Frank. You as well.
As our veteran of the month. And if you know a veteran, please remember them and thank them for their service. Veterans Day is the 11th of November, this coming Saturday. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. And while we've got a little extra time, I would like to encourage anyone in our blind and print audience who is a veteran to call us up. And perhaps you could come be on the show. We've only had one blind person on the program, a young lady who served in Afghanistan. So if she can do it, perhaps you can too. We'd love to hear from you. And our office number that we give after every program is 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Salute a veteran every day. And we have this program every month.